Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. We begin today's show by bringing you an update on the Democrats' $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. It includes major investments to deal with the climate crisis. It would also lower the age of Medicare eligibility from 65 to 60 and expand Medicare to cover glasses, hearing aids, and dental. It would also finally allow Medicare to renegotiate drug prices. It would provide 2 years of free community college, universal pre-K, mandate paid family leave and paid medical leave, and so much more. The blueprint, which recently passed the House, does not need one Republican vote to pass. But Democrats cannot lose any senators and can only lose three House members. Senator Bernie Sanders, who chairs the Senate Budget Committee, was in Iowa and Indiana over the weekend to rally support for this transformative bill. President Biden, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Speaker Pelosi all support the bill. Progressives say they will vote for the watered-down infrastructure bill as long as the reconciliation bill passes at the same time. But nine Democrats say they want to vote on the infrastructure bill immediately. These nine Democrats have raked in nearly $1.2 million from donors in the pharmaceutical and health products industries, according to Open Secrets, and $2.5 million from donors in the oil and gas industry. Joining us to continue our coverage is Russell Berman, staff writer at The Atlantic, where he covers politics. Hi, Russell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. So in your recent piece for The Atlantic called The Man in Joe Biden's Way, you write that the biggest roadblock to President Biden's domestic agenda at the moment is a third-term New Jersey Democrat who most Americans have never heard of, Representative Josh Gottheimer. You interviewed Representative Gottheimer. He's widely considered to be among the most conservative members of the Blue Dog Democratic Caucus. So tell us more about him and his position on these bills.
Well, he's a moderate, and he's he's concerned about the level of spending. He's concerned about the tax increases that are being proposed, and he really wants that bipartisan infrastructure bill to pass. And so he and the other moderates basically got together and held up the passage of the Democratic budget, the big Biden agenda, the $3.5 trillion. Blueprint that you mentioned, and they held that up, demanding a vote on the infrastructure package. And so the way it worked out a week or so ago is they came to a compromise. The leadership, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, agreed to say, okay, we'll bring up the infrastructure bill no later than basically the end of September. And so Gottheimer and his colleagues then agreed to support this budget blueprint, which was a really necessary step to move forward with the $3.5 trillion package. But now is the time when the Democrats are actually writing that bill. There is no detailed legislation yet. The committees in the House and Senate are writing it. And so Gottheimer and his colleagues still have leverage. They still could demand that the $3.5 trillion number, that spending number come down. They could oppose certain tax increases that the Democrats need to pay for the $3.5 trillion. Or once again, they'll probably have another opportunity to demand that this bipartisan infrastructure bill pass first. And so the Democrats are closer to the finish line than they were a couple of weeks ago, but there's still a few more hurdles to clear. And as I write, Gottheimer and his colleagues still have some leverage in all of this.
Right. And we should say, we've been saying that congressional committees are expected to submit their part of the bill to Senator Sanders' panel by September 15th. So now is the time to make your voices heard. When you interviewed Representative Gottheimer, he said, quote, "We need to get the shovels in the ground now." He says that there's more urgency to pass this infrastructure bill since President Biden is ready to sign it. But Representative Jan Anne Schakowsky, a Democrat from Illinois, told The Intercept that she doesn't believe that claim. She said, "We can't spend infrastructure money until after the new fiscal year. I'm mystified. I can't figure this out." So can you tell us more about that interaction with him and just his reasoning behind this claim?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a specious claim. It was maybe a bit of political rhetoric. This is not a stimulus package. This is not this infrastructure bill is spending over a period of, I think, 8 or 10 years. And so it's not a matter, as he said, of getting the shovels in the ground right away. If President Biden signed the bill yesterday compared with 2 months from now, it would not make much difference in when these projects got underway. And so Congresswoman Schakowsky is correct there. I think where he, you know, what they really want to see is these members are prioritizing the bipartisanship, right? Their priority is to show their constituents that they can work with Republicans. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them represent districts that are swing districts, you know, and they really need to appeal to independent and Republican voters. And so that's what I think this push was about, more than getting the shovels in the ground. It's whether they want to highlight the bipartisan bill, even though it's much less far reaching than the $3.5 trillion budget, because they want to highlight the fact that they were able to get Republicans to support it.
Right. Let's talk about the money involved in all of this, because we always have to follow the money. When we talk about Medicare, over 62 million people are enrolled in Medicare, the majority of whom are age 65 or older, and they rely on this as their primary health insurance. Now, this would be life-changing for people who cannot afford dental, eyeglasses, and hearing aids. It would also be life-changing for people who are 60 to 65, because they'd be able to qualify for Medicare. My mom is on Medicare. A lot of people think it's free. It is not free. It's actually pretty expensive. And it's also pretty difficult to navigate, especially if you have health issues. It would also allow Medicare finally to renegotiate drug prices, just like the VA. So this is going to be life-changing. Were you able to ask Representative Gothheimer about this part of the bill?
He did. We didn't get into the details too much, but he did reference the fact that one of the provisions of Medicare, expanding it to cover dental and vision and hearing, is something that he does support. Now, there's a separate question that you alluded to, which is lowering the age of eligibility from 65 to 60. That is in their plan currently, but it's not a foregone conclusion that that will be, you know, make it all the way through to passage. And so I think it's more likely that they will get the expansion of Medicare benefits to include dental and vision and hearing. And it's a little bit more of a question mark whether they will actually be able to lower the age from 65 to 60, which I believe would have a bigger fiscal impact. But that would also, you know, that is one way that over time this country could get to Medicare for all. It may be more likely than passing a Bernie Sanders style, just move right away to a Medicare for all system. It may be more likely that Congress over time just simply keeps lowering the age of eligibility to cover everybody. And so that would be a big step if they were able to get it into law, but that's still a question mark.
Let's talk about some of the money that Gothheimer is accepting from Big Pharma. Donald Shaw, co-founder of Sludge, they cover money in politics, recently wrote a piece called "Healthcare and Hedge Fund Execs Fundraise for Gothheimer as He Leads the Crusade Against Reconciliation." Excuse me. He reports that Cigna and America's Health Insurance Plans, a lobby group, oppose the Medicare provisions in the bill. An insurance industry source told Politico that companies are, quote, freaking out over this, but they're doing it behind the scenes since they know the optics of opposing the expansion of coverage for seniors are not good. I'm going to take a sip of water. Can you tell us more about this, about the money that Gothheimer is receiving from Big Pharma?
Sure. So Gothheimer represents a fairly wealthy district outside of New York City. He's he's a moderate, and moderates in the Democratic Party generally mean that they are friendly to business, big business, small business. And so it's not a surprise that he, many Democrats beyond Josh Gottheimer receive money from Big Pharma, from Wall Street, and from other big business interests. You know, this has been a huge fight for years and years. The Democrats have been talking, you know, for decades and certainly during the debate over the Affordable Care Act about allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Big Pharma, which basically, you know, agreed to not fight tooth and nail against Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, a decade or so ago, it was kind of a deal where the Democrats agreed not to push this big change to Medicare. Now they are. And the difference is that, you know, this has bipartisan support. You know, Donald Trump also talked about allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices. And so I think Big Pharma is, you alluded to what they told Politico or some source did. It's a much more under the radar lobbying effort than we've seen in the past, where we're not seeing ads on TV so much as the kind of you know, hush-hush meetings and phone calls in Washington. That's usually how you know, big corporate lobbying interests get what they want.
Sludge also reports that last night in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, one of the state's wealthiest zip codes, Cigna executive Tim Wentworth and his wife Robin hosted an event with Gottheimer for donors who RSVP by making contributions of between $500 and $11,600 to Gottheimer's primary and general election campaigns. Before we let you go, I'd also like to talk about taxes, because we know that in the coming days and weeks, a lot of people are going to say $3.5 trillion, that's just too expensive. And sure, $3.5 trillion is a lot of money, but we're talking over 10 years. And we're also talking about really changing people's lives. So the Sludge reports that on September 13th, Gottheimer will benefit from a campaign fundraiser co-hosted by hedge fund Davidson Kempner Capital Management President Eric Epstein and business intelligence firm K2 Integrity President Jeremy Kroll. The event will be held in Englewood, New Jersey. Guests can contribute up to $11,600 for a couple. The reconciliation bill, as you say, has not been finalized. There's a good chance it will include legislation to close the carried interest loophole that has allowed hedge fund executives like Epstein to pay the lower capital gains tax rates on their income. So this is really important to also discuss.
Yes, this has also been a big, this has been a big fight. And one that, again, it seems like a no-brainer, but as you alluded to, it's a fight that you know, hedge funds and Wall Street you know, fight, because it makes a big difference for a lot of hedge funders whether they're taxed at the lower capital gains rate or at the ordinary income rate, which of course the Democrats want to increase anyway. And so I think the party is much more likely now to sort of hold the line and actually raise you know, make that change than it was even a decade ago. They believe that raising taxes on the rich is politically popular in a way that maybe they shied away from in past debates. But, you know, Gottheimer and his colleagues and also Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate are going to have some say here. And so the reason you might see that $3.5 trillion number come down is because Democrats, moderates insist that the bill not be as harsh to big business and to wealthy people as somebody like Bernie Sanders would want.
Right. And we should also say, given the corporate tax cut under the Trump administration, which brought the rate from 35 down to 21, in many cases, they're not really raising taxes on the rich. They're kind of just bringing it back to where it was.
No, that's correct. And I think the Democrats are basically all in agreement about bringing that tax rate up higher. The question is how high. I think the party generally, most in the party want it to be 28%. Nobody's really talking about bringing it back up to where it was before, but they want to bring it back up at least to 24-25%. Many want it to go higher than that. And that's, I think, that's where, you know, the cliche, the devil is in the details. I think that's where you're going to see some of this final hashing out, is like, where does that number land? What happens with the carried interest loophole? What happens with the top tax rate for individuals, which also came down in the Trump tax cut? And that's probably going to be maybe, you know, some of the last things that are decided in this bill when they're really down to the final votes and the final the details.
Senator Sanders says that the bill would prohibit new taxes on families making less than $400,000 a year and on small businesses and family farms. You brought up Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, and this is really important. In the Senate, Kyrsten Sinema received $519,000 from donors and Big Pharma. Joe Manchin has received money from oil and gas. When we got that tape of the Exxon lobbyist who thought he was taking part in a job interview but was actually being interviewed by Greenpeace, he said that they actually meet with Senator Joe Manchin on a weekly basis. So, I mean, the fact is here, if you bring this bill to the people, you can bet that it will be overwhelmingly popular. But Russell, the House can only afford to lose three Democrats, and they can't lose any Democrats in the Senate.
That's right. I mean, that's why the moderates do have a lot of leverage. And that's why that $3.5 trillion number is probably going to come down, because, you know, Kyrsten Sinema has said, you know, point blank, that she won't vote for a bill that spends that much money. She hasn't said whether that means she'll vote for something that's $3.49 trillion or whether she wants it to be $2 trillion. But there's going to be negotiations. The Democrats aren't going to get everything that the progressives and Bernie Sanders want. But the thing that they have going for them is that basically everybody in the party sees it as in their interest to pass both of these bills, because the alternative of failure is really catastrophic for both the Biden presidency and likely the Democrats' prospects in the midterm elections. And so I think, you know, if you were making a bet, it's still more likely than not that the Democrats will get a very significant bill passed and signed into law. Whether it's everything that's currently being proposed now, that's less likely.
Well, Russell, thank you so much for your reporting on this. It's so important, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Russell Berman is a staff writer with The Atlantic, where he covers politics. He recently interviewed Representative Josh Gottheimer, who has threatened to derail the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill if the Democrats do not pass the infrastructure bill first. We are reaching out to all of these nine Dems who might get in the way of this reconciliation bill just to find out why. We want to talk to them and ask them questions about the money that they're receiving from Big Pharma and oil, and to find out why. Just to give you one more fact on this, Congressman Kurt Schrader of Oregon is one of these nine Democrats. He's received $614,000 from the healthcare industry. His third biggest career donor is Pfizer's Political Action Committee, and his former chief of staff is a registered lobbyist for the Pharmaceutical Researchers and Manufacturers Action. Thanks to the Daily Poster's David Sirota for some of this information. As you know, following the money is just so crucial when it comes to having these conversations, and we are going to continue our coverage of the watered-down infrastructure bill. It really is. Big oil is not standing in the way of this bill at all, and we're going to continue talking about the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. Again, the funding will come over 10 years, and this would change people's lives. So we will continue to bring you information about these important issues.